the people that do this, the people that actually download programs and what I call like point-and-click hackers,
yes.
There's a derogatory term called script kiddies. And what a script kiddie is somebody that downloads a program that doesn't understand how it works, doesn't understand the vulnerability it is exploiting, but just simply knows if they run this program, good things would happen, and they would get access to things that they shouldn't have
yes.
access to.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. How many script kiddie people do we have out there?
More than sophisticated hackers, because the more sophisticated people that are doing vulnerability research, that even are ethical white hat hackers, and people that even on the darker side, when they find these vulnerabilities, they're publicized. And even in some cases, programs that demonstrate what they call a proof of concept are published on sites and are sent and available on news groups and such. And then anyone that really has access to the internet in a browser could download these programs and use them.
And people like yourself look down their nose at script kiddie people, yes?
Well, I don't really look down at them because I figure that they're novices and they have to, it's like, I guess, an amateur radio operator. It's a novice. They know a little bit of electronic theory and they could do 5 words a minute of Morse code and they got to start somewhere and then eventually they might become an extra class and then they know a lot more about electronic theory and they could do 20 words a minute. Well, I know everything has changed by now, but I'm thinking back in the day.
Yeah, it's 5 words a minute now for the whole group.
My God.
Well,
I had to study my butt off when I was like a kid.
There are many who feel that these standards have been lowered, and I won't get into that right now. But I look at them like script kiddie people.
See, I could equate amateur radio operators, people that were into ham radio, the tinkerers with electronics building Heath Kit radios.
Oh yes.
These, it's a very analogous to a class of computer hackers that were into the experimentation, into the exploration, out of the passion for technology. And it all, I think, emerged from amateur radio and the old phone freaks of the 1970s.
Sure. I think a lot of people want to know these days, Kevin. I do. We have enemies, very serious enemies. Now, I wonder if they're just out there tinkering around with explosives and, biological stuff and even nuclear materials, or whether they're also conducting a war against us with our own technology. And so, in other words, is Al-Qaeda, do you believe, involved intimately in some sort of cyber war with us, or is there an aspect to it? Is it just communication among the cells, or what?
I believe that these terrorist groups definitely use the internet and use encryption and steganography to communicate. That's just it seems like common sense because it would be a great way to conceal their communications.
Yes.
Whether or not they're actually obtaining hacking skills, or hiring people that have these skills to do cyber attacks against critical infrastructures, I really don't know that, but I do know that other nation states are, and even the United States of America, that they are training people in our branches of service to do offensive attacks and also defend our critical infrastructures.
Well, I'm thinking of power plants. I'm thinking of nuclear silos, missile silos. I'm thinking of a million different things that virtually these days are controlled by computer. Is our infrastructure in America, and I mean power plants and all the rest of it, nuclear power plants, for example, are they all protected well enough?
Well, I don't believe they're connected to the public internet, at least the critical systems. At least I would hope not. But you have to think about, what about the worker that has a laptop, that's an authorized employee, that's that plugs in their laptop or goes to Starbucks and while enjoying a latte, they're connected to T-Mobile, surfing the internet.
Yes, sir.
And who goes to some sort of kiosk, they have an open wireless network at home.
Oh,
yeah. And then they bring that laptop back into a protected facility and just plug it in.
Yes.
What type of malicious programs and worms could spread? In fact, when we had that blackout, I don't know, many months ago, that was at the exact time that the MS Blaster worm was in its highest infection rate. So it was quite suspicious of the timing, and you have to wonder, did that same exact incident occur there?
Well, I know that when we went to war with Iraq, there are many stories floating around out there, Kevin, about what the United States did, that we threw some magical switch and virtually turned off their communications, turned off their radar, hacked into this, hacked into that. We turned off Baghdad before the bombs fell.
Well, can you imagine if you actually have access to the computing technology, like if you know Iraq is going to acquire X amount of computer systems from a particular manufacturer and the United States government's able to booby-trap those systems mm-hmm. before they're actually delivered.
Exactly.
Now, you could even booby-trap printers. Because you could even, printers, nowadays have, they're accessible, basically, through TCP/IP, through an IP address. And you have to think about, wow, your company or your business could be hacked through your printer that's connected to the internet that's not even protected because the owner doesn't understand that what threat exists in that case.
So you're saying, for example, if we could control the technological flow from here to, say, Iraq or any other country that we are at odds with, we could perhaps sell them equipment that's got little virtual bombs in it. And if we suddenly went to open warfare with that nation, we could, with a click of a switch, an order given by a president or whoever, a military commander, we could turn them off.
Well, it's a possible if, for example, you have computer hardware and you're able to switch the firmware to some that has some extra, let's say, functionality. And even, say, with the Microsoft, with the Windows operating system, if it's able to, a special version has been patched in the case of delivery.
Yes.
It has some extra bells and whistles that they would rather not have.
Yeah,
yeah, it's possible, but you have to think that government institutions, at least when it comes to software, are using some sort of due diligence to ensure that they're not getting a doctored version of the software. But you have to think about the hardware. The hardware could be booby-trapped in some cases, too.